today we will deal with why we should meditate or why we should practice Vipassana meditation. Vipassana meditation or insight meditation is mental training and mental development. Why do we need to train our mind? Why do we need to develop our mind? We need to train and develop our mind so that we can free from all kinds of mental distortions such as lust, greed, desire, craving, anger, hatred, ignorance, conceit, and the like. These mental distortions are the cause of all kinds of physical and mental suffering. When there is no mental distortions or mental defilement, there will be no suffering at all, both mental and physical. Sometimes we have lobha, desire, lust, craving in our mind. Sometimes we have anger, hatred, aversion. Sometimes we have conceit, jealousy, stinginess. And sometimes we have fear, insecurity, depression, stress and strain. All these mental distortions, mental defilement, are the cause of all kinds of suffering. To overcome, to get rid of suffering, we should remove these mental defilement or mental distortions. Then can we remove these mental distortions and defilements? Yes, these mental states, such as love, lust, desire, craving, anger, hatred, come to existence because of their causes. Without cause, they never rise. Then we should find out the causes of these mental distortions and defilements. If we realize the cause of these mental defilements, then we can remove the cause of defilement, or we can destroy the cause of defilement. When the cause has been destroyed, there won't arise any effect. When the cause of a mental distortion is removed, there won't be any suffering at all, because all sufferings are caused by these mental defilements. Then can we remove these mental defilements? Yes, we can. These mental defilements are not everlasting mental states. They arise and pass away. There are times when there is no mental defilements or mental distortions. But there are times when there is mental distortions and defilements. So, because they are not everlasting mentality, they are subject to impermanence. So we can remove them from our mind. Then why do these mental defilements arise? They arise depending on the round view of a personality, individuality, self, or soul. The round view of a personality, individuality, self, or soul is called Sakkaya Ditthi and Addhiditthi in Pali. All mental defilements or mental distortion arise depending on this round view of a personality, individuality, self, or soul. Then, where does this round view of a personality, individuality comes from? This round view of a personality, individuality comes from misunderstanding of mental and physical phenomena and their true nature, or through ignorance of mental and physical phenomena. If we are able to rightly understand the true nature of mental and physical phenomena, we won't take them to be a person, a being itself, or a soul. Why? Because we realize or we rightly understand these mental and physical phenomena are just natural process of mentality and physicality. So they are neither a person nor a being, nor a soul. What then are they? They are just natural processes of mental and physical phenomena, which are arising and passing away from moment to moment. So when we realize or rightly understand this true nature of a mental and physical phenomena, we remove the round view of a person or being, self, or soul. When there's no idea or concept of person or being, self, or soul, there won't arise any mental defilements. When you take both of mental and physical phenomena to be a person, a being, a self or soul, then that person has a desire to be a worthy man, to be a president or to be a king. That desire to be a wealthy man, a president or a king, arises dependent on the wrong view of a person, a being, a self or so. Sakkayaditti. That wrong view arises through ignorance of mental and physical phenomena and their true nature. I repeatedly explain these points because I would like you to grasp why these mental defilements arise. So, that idea or concept of a person or being is the cause of all mental defilements. So when you take this dual process of mental and physical phenomena, to be a person or a being itself also, that person is angry with another person, then anger arises based on the concept of a person or being. Then that person feels insecure. So he fears insecurity of life. Then here, the feeling of insecurity and the fear arise depending on the concept of a person or being, self or soul. In this way, all mental defilement and mental distortions arise depending on the concept of a person, a being, a self or soul. When this concept of personality and individuality has been removed, then there won't arise any mental defilement. If there's no mental defilement, there's no suffering at all. Because mental defilements such as greed, lust, desire, craving, attachment, anger, hatred, ignorance, conceit, jealousy, sloth and suffer, flurry and worry are the cause of all mental and physical suffering. So when we are able to exterminate these undesirable mental states, mental defilements, then there won't arise a suffering at all. Then we have got rid of all kinds of suffering. Then we live in peace and happiness. Everybody wants to live in happiness and peacefulness. But almost all everybody are unable to live in peace and happiness because of these mental defilements, mental distortions. So it's very, very much important to remove these mental defilements and mental distortions in order to attain real happiness and peace. So to examine these defilements, mental defilements, we must remove the concept of a person or being, self or soul, which is regarded as reality, though it is not. The concept or the idea of a person or being, self or soul arises depending on misunderstanding of mental and physical phenomena, or ignorance of mental and physical phenomena in their true nature. So when we are able to rightly understand mental and physical phenomena in their true nature, we will be able to remove the idea of a person or being, self or soul, and do away with these mental defilements, mental distortions. Then there won't be suffering at all. Then how can we realize that this mental and physical phenomena and their true nature? How can we rightly understand the mental and physical phenomena and their true nature? By being mindful of, by being aware of all mental states and physical process as they really occur, by being mindful of any mental states or physical process as it really occurs, gradually our mind becomes concentrated more and more deeply on any mental states or physical process which is observed. When the mind is deeply concentrated on any mental states or physical process, there arises the insight knowledge which penetrates and do the true nature of a mental and physical phenomena. Then we come to realize these are just a natural process of a mentality and physicality, which are subject to arising and passing away, impermanent. Then we don't take that mental state of physical process to be a person, a being, a self or a soul. And here, the concept of a personality, individuality, has been removed. There is no person or no being, no self or no soul, which is everlasting. What really exists is just natural process of a mentality and physicality, which are rising and passing away. Then we don't have any defilement arising Because the defilement arises depending on the concept of a personal being itself or so. Now this concept has been destroyed. So there won't arise any mental defilement or mental destruction at all. Then there won't arise any of the suffering. In this way, we have got rid of all kinds of suffering. We reach the state in which all suffering ceases to exist. That state of nature is called Nibbana, the cessation of suffering, Nibbana. Then we don't have any of suffering at all. That is why we need to be mindful of, to be aware of, or to observe whatever arises in our body and mind as it occurs. Then, how can we be mindful of these mental and physical phenomena? Yes, by means of a mindfulness meditation expounded by the Buddha in his discourse of the four foundations of mindfulness. So here the point is to realize or to rightly understand the true nature of mental and physical phenomena. That's the point. Then, how can we rightly understand or realize the true nature of a mental and physical phenomena? Through insight knowledge. That insight knowledge can arise when our mind is deeply concentrated on any mental states or physical process. That concentration can be deeper and better when our mindfulness of body-mind process becomes continuous, constant. Why does this mindfulness become continuous and constant? Because we strive our best to be mindful of all actions and movements and the daily routine and the movement of the foot and the walkings, whatever arises in our body while sitting. That's why we need to be mindful of, to be aware of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. This mindfulness of mental and physical phenomena as they really are is known as mindfulness meditation or insight meditation or vipassana meditation. Then, what does vipassana mean? Vipassana means the realization of all three basic characteristics of life. They are impermanent, suffering, and impersonal nature or no soul, no self nature. This is the definition of Vipassana meditation. I'll repeat. Vipassana meditation means the realization or right understanding of a nature, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, anatta, no soul, no self, or impersonal nature. This is the culture of vipassana. So when we practice vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation, by being mindful of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. When our mindfulness becomes continuous and constant, concentration will become better and deeper. Then we are able to realize the true nature of mental and physical phenomena. So, each and every mental state and physical process of physical phenomena is the object of Vipassana meditation. Whatever arises in our body and mind is the object of Vipassana meditation, or mindfulness meditation. So, while we are sitting for meditation, there may arise painful sensation in any part of the body. The painful sensation must be observed, must be mindful of, as it really occurs. Making mental note, pain, until the pain has subsided or disappeared. Though the pain, sometimes the pain doesn't disappear. It goes on. Even though the pain keeps going on and becomes severe and severe, the meditator must be patient with it, and observe it more attentively, more energetically, so that your mindfulness or awareness goes deeper into the pain. Then you'll experience something there. Maybe you'll experience unpleasant sensation of the pain arises and then passes away. Another one arises, then passes away. Another one arises and then passes away. Like a wave which arises and passes away in the sea. Meditator feel appearance and disappearance of the waves of unpleasant sensation, the pain. Later on, at that stage, he does not take this painful sensation as, and he did not feel pain in his mind when he observed this painful sensation and getting deeper and deeper inside the pain. Why? Because he can't realize this is just the feeling of unpleasant sensation. It's neither a person or a being. Then it's called Nama Rupa Parichidanyana. the insight knowledge that discerns nama mentality and rupa physicality. When we are patient with the pain, the severe pain, and continue to observe it attentively, energetically, gradually we come to see the unpleasant sensation rising and passing away, rising and passing away, like the waves of the sea rising and passing away. Then we come to realize this painful sensation is impermanent. It doesn't last even a millionth of a second. Anicca impermanence, we come to realize. Anicca or impermanence is one of three basic characteristics of our life. Our life consists and impermanent suffering and impersonal nature, or no-soul, no-self nature. So when we come to rightly understand through our personal experience the appearance and disappearance of unpleasant sensation one after another, then we come to realize the impermanency of feeling or sensation. So they are impermanent, and nature we come to realize. Then there won't arise any suffering at all, because we don't take that unpleasant sensation, painful sensation, to be a person or a being, or to be me or mine. What to really realize, what really, really realize is arising and passing away of our unpleasant sensation, the pain. So when the pain arises and then it passes away, another painful sensation arises and it passes away. Another painful sensation arises and it passes away. In this way, we come to realize the general or common characteristics of mentality and physicality. General characteristic of mentality or physicality is anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, anatta, impersonal nature, no soul, no self. When we have realized these three characteristics regarding the pain, then the pain leads us to higher stages of insight knowledge by realizing the true nature of the painful sensation. We don't take the pain me or mine, a person or being. Then there won't arise any mental defilements, mental extortions, because there's no concept of a person or being self also. Regarding this pain, then when we see the rapid appearance and disappearance of this unpleasant sensation, like the waves of the sea, we come to judge, oh, this is a bad dukkha, suffering, not good. Here, we realize the nature of suffering, the characteristic of suffering, dukkha, regarding this painful sensation. Then we come to judge. This pain is just natural process of unpleasant sensation. It's neither opposing nor a being. Neither a self nor soul. This is realization of anatta, anicca, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. This is called vipassana. Vipassana means the realization or rightly understanding of mental and physical phenomena and their true nature. That's why we have to strive our best to be mindful of, to be aware of, to observe whatever arises in our mind and body as it really occurs. The purpose is to get rid of all kinds of suffering, to attain to peace and happiness. So when we practice our vipassana meditation, mindfulness meditation, we have three aspects of a practice. One aspect is sitting, the other is walking, the last one is awareness of all actions and movements and the daily routine. We call it general activity or daily activities. If a meditator wants to make progress in his meditation, he must strive his best to be aware of, to be mindful of all actions and movements and the daily routine and more detail, slowing down all actions and movements as much as possible. This aspect of awareness of daily activity is very, very much important for a meditator to have a continuous mindfulness and deeper concentration and clear insight into phenomena. Into phenomena. That's why the Buddha said, the Buddha expounded a separate chapter about awareness of these daily activities, or general activity. Abhikande padikande samajana kari hoti. Aloki de viloki de samjana kari hoti. Samanji de vasari de samjana kari hoti, and so on. The meaning is, when you go forward, you should be aware of your foot. When you go backward, you should be aware of your foot. When we look straight, you should be aware of the act of looking, making mental note, looking, looking, looking. If you see something, note seeing, seeing, seeing. When you look sightwards, then you should note looking, looking, seeing, seeing. When you stretch out your arms, you should be aware of each individual movement of stretching in the arm. When you bend your arms, you should be aware of the movement of the bending or the bending movement of the arm. as it really is. In this way, whatever actions or movement arises, and your daily routine must be observed, must be mindful of, must be noted as it really occurs. Then your mindfulness becomes a continuous and constant, a sustained. When the mindfulness becomes a continuous, the concentration also becomes deeper and better. When concentration becomes deeper, there arises an insight knowledge, which penetrates into the true nature of bodily and mental phenomena and their true nature. Then there won't arise the round view of a personality, individuality, self or soul, which is the cause of all kinds of defilement. Because this concept of a person or being self also has been removed, there won't arise any defilement. When there won't arise any defilement, there won't arise any suffering at all. Then you have got rid of suffering, or you have got rid of mental defilements and mental distortions. Then you live in peace and happiness. May all of you rightly understand the theory, the technique, and the systematic and methodical practice of this Vipassana meditation, and realize all the three characteristics of embodiment is suffering and personal nature, and attain the cessation of suffering, Nibbana.